This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, 1 2 1 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We in the building
for sure.
What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Doing well, man. Yeah, doing great.
Yeah,
doing great. Doing good.
There you go.
Feeling good. How are you?
Doing great, doing well as well. Very, very composed. Very medium energy.
Nah, no doubt.
I'm chilling, man. I can't complain. I'm in a place to be.
Every time someone asks me that, I hear that big boy song in my head.
Feeling good, feeling great.
With the Patti LaBelle.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling great, feeling good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's fresh off a holiday. Memorial Day. You know, I'm fasting, so I ain't really partake.
An impact, huh?
Nah, I didn't partake in any other barbecue festivities.
I didn't barbecue at all. I didn't, you know, that shit was Monday to me. You know, not that I'm fasting. It was definitely Memorial Day, but I guess I've just been on my own little schedule shit that it crept up on me. And I didn't really have the urge to have a hot dog or a hamburger until maybe the seventh hour of the day when I scrolled through Instagram.
4:30 p.m. on Monday.
That's when it made you? That's when
no,
it hit
no, I'm
you?
Just I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
Yeah, about that time, I'm scrolling through the gram, and I said, oh, shit, right, it is Memorial Day. People are having, you know.
People's having it.
Yeah.
The gram was lit.
Was it? I wasn't all that heavy like that.
I mean, I wasn't heavy, but every time I opened it up, it was a beach. It was a barbecue. It was a, you know what I'm saying, block party. It was a, you know, a summer situation.
Yeah, people were indulging.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just let that shit pass me by.
Life be like that sometimes.
How about that? Look at
but
that
today
shit.
Is the day, man. We can't let the day pass us by.
There you go. Happy Memorial Day to my Memorial Day. You know? You know what I mean? Sometimes shit is sad. But yeah, man, we here. We having a good time today. We in the mix. I'm trying not to fidget. We got the video, man. I be sweating and fidgeting so crazy. I'm having pure cokehead energy, and I swear I'm trying my hardest not to look crazy.
No doubt.
Nigga,
no
I was doubt. On that. I was out.
What you doing when you on TV for real? For real?
They cut. They do pickups. I was thinking about that last time you said that shit. They do that shit. They be like, hold on, let's get in this motherfucking sweating. Dab, 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 bang, bang, bang. Okay. When I was on TV with nothing to do with my hands. This is it. This is a lot of fucking restless hands. So they have to cut around that shit.
No doubt. Steve Carell taught me.
Steve Carell?
Steve Carell. What's his name?
Oh, in The Office?
Yeah, that hat.
He taught you?
How to be on TV.
And via The Office or?
Nah, via a red carpet. We were shooting a red carpet.
I think you told me about that.
I might have told this whole story.
Speak to the people.
We were shooting this red carpet, and it was him and Tina Fey. I forget what movie it was. It was just some movie. But we were shooting the red carpet.
I think it was the one where they're teachers.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the song. Yeah, go ahead.
So Tina Fey came down. She did all her interviews and shit. Then Steve Carell came, and he did his interview and shit. And in real life, I was like, that's motherfucker stiff as shit.
Right.
Because he was just... This motherfucker composure was zoop.
Right.
You ask him a question. I'm like, man, that shit looks stiff as hell in real life. And then in contrast, right after him was Cookie. What's Cookie?
Taraji.
Taraji came right after Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on some, you know what I'm saying? She was black with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
she was,
yeah.
And so when I went back and looked at the footage,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Because Taraji looked normal to me. Because you know what I'm saying? I'm used to that kind of
image.
You know what I'm saying? And Steve looked like a robot to me.
Right.
But then when I went and looked at the footage in the computer,
right.
Steve Carell, his shit looked polished. He looked like a professional. He looked like this shit was, you know what I'm saying? It didn't look stiff on TV. It just looked like the motherfucker was composed.
Yeah.
Taraji looked like
she looked crazy.
Like a wildcat. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's real.
So, you know, I try to keep that in mind when somebody turned the camera on. I try to compose myself a little bit.
Dude, I could barely follow that story because I'm trying so hard to keep my arms in place. Like, that ass, like, I'm here, but it take a good 15 minutes for me to truly get in the conversation now that we got these cameras. I'm, like, dead ass, like, just thinking about, okay, what's going on, brother? You all right? You fine? Good to see you. Sometimes my shit will be like this, and then just, I don't know.
Wow, Kettle. Tasmanian D.
The frenetic sweat. It's not the fly shit.
No doubt. Pull that shit together.
But we're going to get it right. We're going to get it right, man. You got to go through it.
You know what I'm saying?
I was trying to think of a maxim, but I couldn't think of nothing. But you know what I mean. You just got
to
live it.
All you got to do is rhyme, dog.
Just live it. Yeah, you got to go just go through it to do it.
You know what I'm saying? That's it. Yeah. That's all you got to do is you got to rhyme.
You want
to
resonate. All you got to do is hit him with a fucking.
And usually that shit makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
You got to figure out that rhyming word for your parable, dog.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Rhyme gives it so much, makes it so much more profound.
Rhyme in a pregnant silence happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The motherfucker had to pontificate.
Mm-hmm. I like when people hit you with the, they set you up with their little, they be like, brother like you. See, I know a brother like you. You going to feel me when I say this.
Nah.
I hate when motherfuckers set you up.
Yeah, nah.
Because now it's like, hold on, fam. Don't try to get the cosign off rip.
Nah.
I don't even, you try to get me to sign for a package. I don't even know what's in this shit.
Nah, player.
I know somebody like you.
Nah.
I know you going to agree exactly what I say right now.
You don't even know me, dog.
I can just tell by your whole vibe. You know what I mean? So when I say this, I can look at you. And I can tell you going to get what I'm about to say.
See, I let them get it off. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to let them have it if it don't come off right.
Right.
But I like those cats who shut all that shit, that type of shit down. Mm-hmm. Nigga, don't be putting no motherfucking words in my goddamn mouth. Motherfucker, say what you got to say. Don't put me in it.
Motherfucker, you don't know me.
You know what I'm saying?
At all.
That type of shit my pops would do. Shut the shit down before she even gets started. Motherfucker don't even want to say it no more.
Yeah.
You know what, brother?
If you're going to be disagreeable.
So you know what, brother? But that shit keep all that shit out of distance. All that bullshit.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. They gotta block that shit. Sometimes you do have to overtly block the shit. Sometimes you be like, all right.
Go ahead and get shit off, man. Right, that shit is whack.
True. All okay, right. Bird. I don't know about that one.
Okay. Where you get that from?
That's a hell of a theory. That's a hot take. Oh shit, man! How was your weekend?
Man, I mean, it was full of work and full of, you know what I'm saying, trying to get shit done. I didn't do no festive shit. I didn't do no celebratory or the summer.
Mm-hmm.
None of that shit. We went to friends of ours had, you know, a little dinner at their crib and shit on Sunday, you know what I'm saying? But then, you know, I got to wait till the appropriate time, you know what I'm saying? I can't fall through when the invite was 4 o'clock. I can't get there till 7:30 and then wait the last 30, 40 minutes,
ooh.
You know what I'm saying? So my wife, you know, she went, they had fun, you know what I'm saying? And I went later. It was all good. You know what I'm saying?
There was still a little bit of event left?
Yeah, it was still, you know, once... Yeah, you know, once they get the wine cracking,
it's going down.
You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, I was sober Joe. So, you know, usually I had the jokes. You know,
right.
I mean? Usually I'd be in there with the jokes, cracking motherfuckers up. And then
Ramadan Muhammad ain't as fun.
Ramadan Muhammad ain't got as many jokes. He ain't as irreverent.
Are you a little bit more insightful or introspective?
Ramadan Muhammad is sitting back watching the scene first, you know what I'm saying?
Watching people eat their food.
No, not even that. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just listening to the conversation without inserting until it's, the moment to insert, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Non-Ramadan Muhammad on some wine or something, you know what I'm saying? He got a lot to say.
Right.
You know, especially in close company.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The mixed company, you know what I'm saying? I'm probably the same dude.
Okay.
On the wine as Ramadan Muhammad. But, you know what I'm saying? I'm paying attention to everything and then, you know, just laying back and then, you know, trying to say something. But, you know, sometimes I might just be in that, you know what I mean, not into the conversation at all. And then that ain't good for a social scenario. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you might want to just stay your ass home. So, but, you know, I jumped in here and there, you know what I'm saying? This particular family, the wife has a mother who's probably 80-something, maybe close to 90 years old. And last time they had some shit, I wasn't Ramadan Muhammad. I was talking cash shit. And then
she expected that.
No, no, not she expected that one. And then everybody, you know, they treat the, you know, they treat the grandma very with much respect, as we should, you know what I'm saying? But it was a turn in the conversation to where they was trying to censor the conversation while the grandma sit there. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the grandma done live life. You know what I'm saying? She 90 years old. She know all this shit what y'all talking about.
Right.
I was like, don't act like Miss Lennon. No, don't know what. No, we got to beat that name. Don't act like she don't know what we talking about.
Think there's more than one Miss Lennon.
Listen, then my wife's going, you know what I'm saying? You know, hey, listen.
Twice.
But you know, so they was trying to hide the conversation from a 90-year-old woman.
Right.
And I was like, y'all ain't got to hide nothing from her. She, right. Then she broke out with the, I've seen plenty penises in my life. And everybody was like, oh.
Wow.
So, you know what I'm saying? We had the shit rolling. I was, you know, boosting that shit up. And, and, you know, this time she was like,
She was like, oh, plenty penises.
You know what I'm saying? She was like, there you go. What's up with it? You know what I mean? But I was calm, Muhammad, this time.
That's the age-old argument when it comes to old people. Should you censor around the old people? Or the fact that they got old, they seen all
they
of this
seen
shit.
All this shit. I think it's some old people that, you know what I'm saying, get old and kind of like don't want to be a part of that type shit, that conversation. They be trying to get close to God.
You know what I'm saying? They trying to make up for some foul shit.
Not even make up for some foul shit, but you know what I'm saying? This last day is if it is going to be a judgment. I don't want to fuck up on the last day. I ain't even got no time to repent. Yeah. I might be going tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they don't even want that kind of talk around them, some of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of them have done so much wild shit in their life and they finally cleaned up that they don't want that shit around them. You know what I'm saying? And some old people, you know what I'm saying? They done seen it. They understand what everybody going through. They understand what stage you at in your situation, your journey. So they don't trip on it. They let you be who you are. You know what I mean? They don't trip. You know what I mean? They school you when they have to, and otherwise they laugh when they, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I want to be full of life with mine, you know what I'm saying? I would think I want to be the type of old person who kind of understands where everybody's at in their situation.
Yeah.
Oh, you 24 years old, you saying dumbass 24-year-old shit.
Right.
Or you know what I'm saying, you 40 years old, you saying that 40-year-old married man shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, to be able to bust it down with experience and understanding is, you know what I'm saying, I think that's what I would try to be.
You seen all of that shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
We've seen a lot of it.
Yeah, because you know what I'm saying, even now you've seen a lot of shit at this stage, and when you hear it coming, you don't like when my kids say silly shit. I don't judge them for being young.
Mm-hmm.
I just know they're young. They ain't seen nothing yet. You know what I mean? So you try to either school them or just listen to their theory.
Oh, you'll listen to it.
Yeah, I'll listen.
Will you humor it?
Yeah,
even if you don't
believe
because
it. I had theories when I was young that still stand true to this day. So you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I might have been 19 coming up with some shit that I still stand by right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? This is that time when 18, 17, 16, 19, 20, you are developing philosophy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that should be interesting. Interesting take on the world from somebody who's living it from a different vantage point. You know what I mean? And so I listen to that shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with it. All of it, but I don't shit on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to stay open.
Like my son, they was coming with their whole little business plan, their business proposal for their company. And you know what I'm saying? And in that space, I definitely had to catch myself before I even started talking because they don't know. But that's the beauty of being young and you don't know. So you go for that shit know what I'm saying, without no expectations of failing, because you don't know. When you get old and you don't bump your head at some shit, sometimes you don't shoot the shot because you scared of failure. And I just remember being young, we didn't give a fuck. We just went and did that shit.
Right.
And we won because we just did that shit. So I don't want to steal that moment from a 19-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I give you game where you ask for it, but if you feel like you could do some shit and accomplish some shit, try that shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know? So I just had that happen, you know what I'm saying, the other day, like Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, they came with their little business model.
You had to fall back.
I listened. I was like, okay. You know what I'm saying? I just added to whatever that, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you did say a little
no,
something.
No, I didn't know. I did not take any game out of it. You know what I'm saying? Only added to. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, if you're going to do that, then you need to be, you know what I'm saying? Because they want to do some content.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you need to be shooting that shit that's in y'all life, that wild shit y'all be putting on IG stories and shit, which y'all, you know, some shit I seen on stories that was like, come on, dog, to me.
Right.
But again, they 18, 19 years old, it's some silly shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the type of shit you need to be shooting.
Right.
Because that's what y'all doing.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Resonate with
that's
going
to resonate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's
your demo.
Yeah, I'm thinking y'all niggas crazy. You doing some silly shit. You need to calm shit down.
Right.
But man, let be 19, man.
And you let it all rock out with strength.
As long as it ain't encroaching on, you know what I'm saying, in no danger or no crime or you know shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Be 19, motherfucker.
That's what's
up. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope.
Because nobody wasn't telling us no shit when we was doing our shit.
It depends. There's parents that are, especially parents, that could be overbearing.
No doubt.
That don't really want to, like you said, 18, 19, these are when you're coming up with your theories, coming up with how you're going to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's that time where I guess parents are letting go of their children, not letting go, but allowing freedom to bump your head and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be that impulse to grab the remote and be like, nah, nigga, you got to do it like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you back on. When you should, like, to your point, practice some restraint. And I would imagine that shit might take some energy.
It do take energy to practice restraint. But if you can see yourself in your life at that stage, and, you know what I'm saying, the shit that you want to add is the shit that you wish somebody had told you at that age.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know what I'm saying?
Not the detraction.
Not the detraction and the, you know what I'm saying, like the fear. Because a lot of older people put fear in your shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people hear something you're doing and be like, ooh, nah, that's a little risky, ain't it? You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying, take the energy out of what you're trying to do. And people did that, but we didn't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? And we just did the shit anyway.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? Even when it won, when we bumped our head, you learn your lesson. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? At FAM, we started this TV show, and the first week on the air, you know what I'm saying? They put us on at 6 o'clock. We didn't have no fucking idea of what happens at 6 o'clock on TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All we know is we had this show, and we delivered it to the TV station.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, you know what I'm saying, people were writing in to the newspaper. That was when you had to write in, write a whole fucking letter.
That's a lot.
Wrote a letter to the newspaper saying that, you know what I'm saying, my family was at the dinner table eating dinner after the 6 o'clock news and this, and then all of a sudden these gyrating booties and shit on the screen. This is an outrage.
Yeah.
And we got kicked off the station. You know what I'm saying? But then the next station picked us up before the next week at a later time, a more appropriate time. And we won in that time. You know what I'm saying? But we didn't give a fuck. We was just like, we was young.
You was out there swinging for the fences.
Yeah, we didn't think about that shit. And had I let other people's opinions of what we was doing stop us from what we was doing, we would never did shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I probably still wouldn't have done shit because, you know what I'm saying? Everything you do, people are going to say, man, that's crazy. Oh, man, that's risky. Oh, man, you got 3 kids. Hey, man, shit, you man, what you going to do?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And the more you think about that type of shit, that becomes more your reality. The more you think about winning, the more you think about, okay, this time I'm going to execute it, the more you think about your plan and putting shit into your plan, the more you know what I'm saying, your shit works out according to plan for the most part.
Yeah, you're seeing your shit all the way through.
Right. All angles. You catching it from all angles and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I did this weekend.
That's what I did. There you go.
I think that was the question.
That was the question. I saw John Wick 3 this weekend.
Right?
Yeah. I think I jumped all the way to John Wick 3. I don't think I said, I'm pretty sure I didn't see 2. I don't think I see. I might have seen 20 minutes of 1.
So how is it jumping to 3 and skipping 1 and 2?
I don't think I missed a thing. That shit was all right. It was all right. I enjoyed it. It's I said on Twitter, it's one of the movies where every few minutes you're like, man, if you don't get the fuck out of here with this bullshit, you gotta truly suspend disbelief. You gotta ride along.
Right.
Because it's gunfights. There's bullets whizzing from everywhere. Only John Wick's bullets are killing people. John don't never get grazed.
No doubt.
You know, he's using everything as a weapon, from fists to knives to guns. He's using a horse like a gun. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, it's some ridiculous shit.
How do you use a horse?
Exactly.
A
John figured it out.
And Halle Berry. What are you shooting, shit?
No, they're not shooting shit. They kicking the fuck out of these people, but he know how to trigger the horse to be like, tap, tap, bing. It's like on, you know what I mean? All of, and he just know it like this because he's that motherfucker.
Right. He just rode up on this horse he ain't never known before.
He didn't even ride the horse. He just saw the horse sitting there. He tapped the horse on the abdomen. The horse knew the kick. It's like shit like that. The horse and him never even, they never spoke to each other.
Horse whisperer.
Tarzan. Yeah, absolutely. Halle Berry was the dog whisperer. They got Halle in there too. She got twin, look like some what do they call them joints? Some old school joints.
Pistols?
No, Revolve? Dogs. Oh, old dog. School dogs. That was the shit. My man. Dobermans? Shout out to my man. Before Dobermans. What was before Dobermans?
German Shepherds.
Yeah. You know the evolution of dogs.
German Shepherds, Doberman, yeah. Rottweiler.
Right. And then the pit bull, yeah. So yeah, so she had like two like police looking dogs.
Right.
And these dogs were bananas. She could activate them. Cha-chi, hoo-hoom, whatever the fuck the dogs say. Bing, bang. The dogs know to do some shit. The dogs don't get hit by no, you know, all of this shit is. But at the same time, the choreography, that's where you got to respect it. Because it's ridiculously over the top with the gunplay and all of that shit. And they got this thing called gun-fu. Where they, you know what I mean, they're using the gun, but they still hit you with a little bit of kung fu. You know what I mean? A little ping, ping, pow, pow, you know, some shit. I feel like I heard a rapper call some shit gun fu a long time ago, but this now is gun fu out here. So they out there doing the gun fu. And I forget the director, because I definitely listened to the director talk about the whole thing. But the director was a former stuntman. So he brings his wealth and knowledge on, like, because he was like, you know, being a stunt player all these years, like, you would do a dope stunt, but then the director wouldn't know how to cover it with the camera the way it should, the way it would have sold it. So for him to be a little bit more endemic to what it is, he could capture it. And I keep it 100. Like, that's where you like, all right, this is ridiculous. But this shit's kind of, like, some of the shit they doing, man, there's one scene where my man stabs the cat in his eye, and they hold the knife right above the eye, and, like, you know, like, they're definitely stretching the tension. You can feel the whole theater, like, oh, shit, and then it go through, and they don't spare that shit. They let you see it. That shit was so fucking gratuitous. I had to laugh just because the shit, like, y'all niggas is wild, and this shit is amazing. Like, it's wild. I might go see 2 and 1 just to get the whole trilogy thing. But
that's like that hyper violent Korean shit.
Right. Like The Killer. Like
I saw The Devil or some shit like that.
I never heard of that one, but that shit is crazy. Yeah.
I saw The Devil. The Devil. I think that's the name of it in American.
That shit sound like some bloody shit.
Shit's intense.
Yeah.
That was the first one somebody put me onto. That shit was.
Yeah, when you see it for the first time, it's extreme. You like, why are we doing all this? This a lot.
I mean, it's damn near a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's gory as fuck. It's gory as shit, man. Lawrence Fishburne's in it, so it's kind of like a little bit of a Matrix reunion. You know what I mean? Little Matrix.
I watched The Matrix a couple weeks ago, just on some revisit, to sit back and revisit.
I've been meaning to do that because there's some gems in The Matrix.
Yeah, it is.
The Matrix, that shit could be a whole new ideology if you let it. You know what I mean? Like that. I remember going to see The Matrix and walking out of there like, yo, nah, this is just The Matrix. This could be changed. I haven't seen The Matrix in a while, but it kind of, and you've seen it just recently, so let me know if I'm wrong. But what it reminded me of, you ever read that book, The Four Agreements?
Yes.
So you know how in The Four Agreements, I want to say it's The Four Agreements, where he's like, all this shit is fake. Like you just, what you've created through your own whatever, right, imagination, anxiety, whatever, that shit ain't really real. Like this shit that you living in, it's not real. The real shit is within type shit, you know what I mean? Which was kind of like The Matrix, or like once you realize the power you have within, you were the man before you even went to go find out. You know what I'm saying? Like you always.
Right.
So it was one of those type of things.
Yeah, definitely.
What you think watching it again?
I mean, it still holds up, you know what I'm saying? It was one of them, you know, The Matrix was one of them movies that hit like 1984, the book hit. When I first read that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? When I first read 1984, the book, I closed that shit, was like, oh shit, these motherfuckers watching me right now.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Right.
So to go back and watch The Matrix now, it was more so to kind of, you know what I'm saying, see where it stood within today's technology and today's world. You know what I'm saying?
How's it hold up? Does it?
I mean, shit still hold up.
Still right? Still scary?
Still might be in this.
Yeah, this motherfucker looking.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying, like you said, to what you said about, you know what I'm saying, you was the man before you even went in that motherfucker.
Right.
It's also, you know what I'm saying, speaking to that part of yourself when you start thinking about, you know what I'm saying, the moves you making and how you feel it inside, like you said.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you do need to do a reality or inside reality check.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See where you at with it. You know what I'm saying? For you succumb to, you know what I mean?
Some bullshit.
The pressures of the world to be regular.
Right. You tap into some shit. Like, you spoke to my soul.
I'm not regular.
I was watching something. I'm not regular, motherfucker. I was watching some shit recently where it was like one of them the things where you get like a message that goes straight to your soul.
Yeah.
When it was like, it wasn't, you weren't looking for it. You're like, oh shit. Nah, nigga, that was deep. I can't remember what it was, but I will tell you this. I did also see some throwback shit. Jimmy Kimmel and Norman Lear did a live action All in the Family in Jeffersons.
Oh, yeah. I was cruising past it. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
I had a shoot about to happen, but I turned on the TV and that shit was on.
Yeah, which side you see?
It was the Jeffersons, because I was confused at first. I was like, wait a minute, this is
some new shit?
I mean, hold on, what? Then I looked at George, I'm like, that don't even, I thought that was another character.
Right.
But then I'm like, wait a minute, that's supposed to be Wheezy? wait a minute, that motherfucker looked like. And then, you know, turned out to be that shit, but I had a shoot, so I just kept it moving.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. It was fun. Oh, wait, who was Wheezy again? Wheezy was, fucking it up. I know Jamie Foxx. Oh, Wanda Sykes was Wheezy.
Wanda Sykes
was Wheezy. Jamie Foxx was George. Marla Gibbs was Florence, which was cool. I think she might be the only, not maybe, I think she might be the last surviving person from the Jeffersons. Maybe, I don't know.
What about, is what you call him, Lenny Kravitz's mama dead?
I don't know for sure.
She played.
I think she did die. I think Roxy Roker. I feel like I seen, you know, but you know, I never know. No, you know, if she live, shout out, come up to the show. It would be great. no, but for real, like that would be, it's great that she's alive. It would be great if she did the show. I don't know how much we would talk about. Maybe 20 minutes.
How much you would talk about?
We talk
Roxy
about
Roker? She got a lifetime of shit to talk about.
But how much of that shit do you know to summon up outside the Jefferson?
It don't matter. By the time you start talking to an elder, they got a lifetime of shit to be talking about. But you just want to talk about, unless you just want to talk about current projects and shit.
I don't know.
She got a whole lot of shit. She got, a granddaughter that's popping out here. Who's son, Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, okay, no,
you know what I'm saying? She,
All right, fair enough. The elder whisperer.
Hey, man.
I'm just saying. Look.
Respect the elders.
Anyway, if she's alive, we would love to have her. Absolutely. She's not. We getting a producer. See, look at that.
She dead.
She's going. She's going. When we she acted die? Too late. I hope it wasn't while we were still doing this shit, because then we fucked up.
It was like 95.
Okay, oh, well, damn. Shit. Told you.
Well, she looking down from heaven, got a granddaughter popping. Lenny,
there you go. You know what I mean?
Shit.
Shout out to you, Roxy Double R.
You can tell you Kerry how to get Washington. To the other side.
Kerry Washington played Roxy. It ain't kind of a favorite. Like, she had the haircut and all of that shit. It was kind of ill. I forget who else was. But what was really cool, I mean, it was a lot of shit that was cool. It was pretty cool just to see it being done. What I liked was they had Jennifer Hudson sing the Moving On Up live. Like, through the shit. And she sang the fuck out of that shit. She gave it the respect it deserved. It was like, okay, she sang that shit like the fucking anthem that it is.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know what was happening. I just turned the TV on right quick and was like, hold up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
It'll throw you off.
Once I figured it out, then I kept it moving. I had a shoot in my crib. I was doing a photo shoot.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't taken stills in a minute, you know what I'm saying? I never really done a real stills photo shoot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Any stills I've done was, you know, be out and about, like, you know, documentary style. I never really did a setup in a studio type of photo shoot.
Uh-huh.
So I was doing one at the crib, because I got a little backdrop and all that set up. So,
okay.
And then, you know, I was going to, you know what I'm saying, when they asked, they didn't have a big budget, and they was just like, you know what I'm saying, you know somebody could do it. I'm like, well, shit, I could take that little money, shit. I know how to do this shit, you know what I'm saying? So I had this shoot.
I could take that little money.
You know what I'm saying? And so it was where it was a female, so I'm shooting a female.
Right.
So, you know, I got the wife and the kids, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do the shoot at the crib, so I got to, you know what I'm saying, figure out how I'm going to work this into the equation. So I called my wife. Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I got this shoot at the crib. You know what I'm saying? What time do you get off so I could schedule it within the, you know what I'm saying?
Parameters.
The parameters of when you in the crib. You know what I'm saying? And so I do that. You know, I'm trying to be honorable ass Jon Snow ass nigga.
Jon Snow.
So I set it up. You know what I'm saying? Boom. She get it a little late. So my wife already there. She chilling. Da-da-da-da. She come down, meet her and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So we shooting. So we start about 9:20, 9:30.
Okay. What type of shots are these?
We shooting really basically food, like, you know what I'm saying. So you know what I'm saying. So she do these desserts. So we shooting. It was a certain ad that she wanted to kind of replicate with the desserts.
Oh, so you're shooting just the food, not even her.
I'm shooting her and the food. So it's like her and the food together.
Okay.
So it's basically focused on the food, but then you got her in it. You know what I'm saying. So. So we shooting this shit, you know what I'm saying? It's about 12:30, and I'm about wrapping up.
Right.
My wife hit me with the text, you know what I'm saying? It's a little bit late to be having people all up in the house. I'm like, well, this is the whole point of me setting it up late, so that I wouldn't be going through this.
Okay.
Now I'm going through it.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? It was a beef.
Mm.
I'm like, damn, what the fuck you think I'm gonna do?
You know what I'm saying? After dark.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm gonna do? What I'm gonna do in my own house? I got kids running up and through here. My wife come down randomly whenever the fuck she wants because it's her house.
I guess it's the optics. I get, or it's the fact that sometimes you just want your house back. You know what I mean? Like after a while, you just like, yo, I want to walk through my house. Like, I don't give a fuck.
She going to bed.
So he felt like it was just...
It's just the fact that it was just a chick. You know what I'm saying? Then she trying to come up with some stuff that, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you don't do this at other shoes. I'm like, I do this same shit at all my shoes. Because I had, you know what I'm saying? I had 2 bottles of wine. Oh. I had 2 juices. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Just when we have a guest here, we bring some, you know what I'm saying? We bring a drink. You know what I'm saying? Every shoot I do, you know what I'm saying? We do that if it's, you know what I'm saying, somewhere...
You know, it's all the wine about. Exactly. That's looking crazy. You know, I thought it was Ramadan. It's all the wine.
You bought this or she bought that. I bought it. You ain't do this with such and such had that shoe here. I'm like, because I bought beer.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? They wanted beer. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
So it was like a brief tension. Ooh. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I thought I was doing it right. Let's see how Jon Snow got sent to the North.
Man, them Game of Thrones references is over.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, it ain't over. The references ain't over. Man, we ain't going to do the, you know, do the talk. Nah, you got to sense some references.
I ain't going to sense it, but you just hit me with two Jon Snow back to back, so you know I don't really know enough.
You know enough about Jon Snow.
I know that this nigga was supposed to be king, but he ain't want to be king.
Right.
That shit don't got nothing to do with this photography thing.
Yeah, everybody listening know what the fuck I'm talking about.
See, but that's my point.
They know what I'm talking about. I broke the whole shit down how honorable Jon Snow was.
I'm just saying, them Game of Thrones references, they dying out. And probably got 2 years on that.
Hey, man, when they dead, they dead. I won't use them no more. I have something else to use. But they still fresh right now, so it's being used.
Dusty. Go ahead, though. So you say, so now you got this lady in the house. What type of food? What type of food is she using?
Desserts. She's doing some glitter strawberries.
Oh, this sound wild sensual.
I mean,
glitter strawberries after dark. That shit sound wild. I dig it. I know it's benign as fuck, but imagine over tricking 100, dog. Imagine somebody was like, yo, your lady downstairs taking photos of a dude with some chocolate covered strawberries that. After midnight, you all right? Look
am
at,
I
look
home?
At you,
am I home?
You come, you right there.
Just like what I told her. If you was, I'm coming downstairs. If I need to see what's happening, I'm coming downstairs.
That's true.
I'm gonna insert. I'm gonna have me a glass of wine.
But you might feel
myself.
A way about that because you feel like you might be imposing. Because it is or some real shit. And this is what it is. Or some real shit. It's a set. It's real. It's working going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's at the house, right? And then it's like, obviously y'all negotiate whatever y'all negotiate. But if it's some late shit, I want to be in my house on some late night shit. You know, I might want to walk around with my drawers on and shit.
Hold on.
But then I feel like I'm imposing. In my own crib, in my own crib, I'm like, you guys,
and you might be, but see, if I came to your job, you know what I'm saying? I can't be rolling all up doing what the fuck I want either. I'm at my job doing my work.
Oh.
You understand? And now I understand. Yes, it's in the crib. Yes, it's you know what I'm saying. It's a tricky negotiation, but I felt like it would have been a whole lot trickier if I did the shoot.
Nobody was there.
If I did the shoot at motherfucking 11 o'clock in the morning, ain't nobody there but me.
That,
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? Not that matter to me, no kind of way, because it don't. But being, all right, let me go ahead and do this the right way. I'm going to do it at this later time because everybody be home. Ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't work out like that.
Glitter strawberries after midnight.
I mean, it wasn't, like I said, dog. In
so
theory,
it's glitter on the strawberry, like real glitter? Was it
edible,
glitter?
Yeah, some edible shit. It's dope. This shit look dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shit look dope. I'm going to show you.
You had a good time with it? Did you get comfortable feeling like with the stills and all of that? Or
with the stills, once I got the light right, you know what I'm saying? I had to go through a couple of setups before I got the light how I wanted it. But once I got the light right, I was like, oh, shit.
What's the biggest difference in your approach? Obviously, one is static, but like, what's the difference?
Two different sciences.
Like, okay, so this is all about light.
It's about in video, you can move around and do a bunch of shit, and you know what I'm saying. I know what to do in video. You know what I'm saying. I've been doing it, exercising the video muscle for quite some time.
And you can cut a lot with video too.
You cut through, since stills, you got that one moment. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then, see, the thing about stills is, which I never really had to do in video, is like posing. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker got posed, and you had to be posed a certain way for the shit to look right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not used to shooting for that. Right. So You know what I'm saying? I went through a couple of sets before I really got an understanding, okay, this is where my light coming from, and this is how it's falling on the strawberry. But then, you know what I'm saying, I still gotta have the subject in there as well. So once I got the light right, you know what I'm saying, and then I went and got this reflector from downstairs that I used on another shoot. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just stuff started popping in your head from other shoots that you've been on.
Yeah.
Seeing shit. Like, right. Okay, let me go whoop, whoop, whoop. Once I rigged that up, I was getting good light. Then I was like, oh shit, this shit popping. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, and then I'm shooting all manual lenses. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So no autofocus at all.
So you gotta make sure that shit is on fire.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm, you know what I'm saying? You gotta know.
Tripod or you going?
I'm going tripod, but then once I got into it, I went handheld on some of them, but I always do a set tripod, then go handheld.
Okay.
Because again, I never really done a photo shoot with manual focus and got your focus already. Nah, you gotta be knowing where your focus
in the mix. Yeah. You gotta be in it.
So I think it came out good though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But one thing you had to when you doing shoots, especially with stills, is that, you know, you could shoot 1,000 shots, but you only need 4 or 5.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you just want to make sure you get your 4 or 5 or however many it is that you, the number you got to hit, but you're going to shoot, you know what I'm saying, exponentially more than what you need. So you're looking for that moment, you're searching for it, and you're trying to figure out the best ways to get it, knowing that you got room to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the only reason I learned that was from hiring photographers. Mm-hmm. And then you hire a photographer and he turned the set in to you. And first time I did that, I was doing the magazine. I'm like, man, this shit is terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. God damn, what the fuck, what the fuck?
And then you
see the one that's like, oh.
Right.
Then you ain't worried about the terrible one no more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, okay, that's how I go. You know what I'm saying? And then in most cases, a lot of photographers don't even like to give you the whole set.
I was about
set.
To say, yeah, they don't want to show you all that contact sheet, right?
Yeah, but when you're doing a magazine, I need to see all that shit, man. Because, you know, some of it I might want to use in front of the book as like an offshoot type of, not a real clean photo.
Right.
So I want to see all that shit. But a lot of times, photographers don't want to give you all that shit. So they only want to give you the ones that came out right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? With that in mind, I know I don't have to get every shot right.
Right.
I just got to find my way and get to the shot.
Right. Right. Whereas with video, it's more about the moment, I guess.
With video, you got the same concept. Every shot don't have to be perfect, but you got to capture the moments. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And in each moment, you know when you only got one shot to capture. You know what I'm saying? Weddings and shit like that, I don't do many of them. But wedding, you only got one time to capture that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But all the pregame shit, like with the setup with the ring and with, you know what I'm saying? You do this kiss, you got time to do a couple of different variations.
Uh-huh.
But in most things, you know, if it's documentary style, you know, every shot is not going to be pertinent to the story.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know it's pertinent to the story, you know you got to get that bitch.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So you drill down, you dig in, make sure your shit is steady and in focus.
Doing that, does it make you less precious about moments and shots? Meaning like when you going through looking for that one shot, are you are you able to just delete all them other shits with no regard when you find that shot? Or are you like, because I'll hoard the shit out of even the bad shots.
I hoard the bad shots.
Okay.
Because I use bad shots. I use some shit what people consider bad shots. If it helped tell the story, I use that shit.
What's a good shot to you? Because that's such a subjective thing. But like to you, what makes you say, that's it, I got it?
Well, for a long time, you know what I'm saying, for most things that I do, a good shot is telling the story exactly how I wanted to tell it. You know what I'm saying? Something like, you might have something going on, you have two or three things going on, you shooting, but then this one thing happens that's not gonna happen again that maybe only you saw.
Mm-hmm.
that it's like, ooh, this right here is going to be perfect in this story. You know what I'm saying? And like, say if you, like I said, I don't shoot many weddings, but I'm going to just use wedding as an example. Say you shooting a wedding, and this is, you know what I'm saying, at the reception, you know what I'm saying, everything is going on, this is the main show, but then the father is talking to his daughter, crying a little bit off in the cut, away from everybody.
Like a fucking sucker.
And then you just so happen to be coming from the bathroom and shit. You're like, oh, shit. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit ain't finna happen again. That shit ain't finna happen out there. You like, and you got it. They don't know you got it. So when you throw it in the mix, it's gonna be like, ooh.
This nigga caught me looking like suck.
This motherfucker cold-blooded.
Caught me on my most vulnerable moment. Now, it's true.
When you fucking with your daughter, you don't even think about being no sucker.
But, nah, that's cool. That's cool. But then, you know, as time goes on, do you get rid of them shits or you hoard it?
I don't get rid of shit. I got all the footage I ever shot. Damn. Unless my hard drive fail.
Right.
Because, I mean, ain't no real reason. Because sometimes your eye is totally different from when you in it to when you had to look back and grab some shit. Like, just being black, for example. Some shit I shot that was just on the hard drive. I didn't shoot it for the purpose that I ended up using it. I shot it for a whole nother purpose. So when I went back looking at it, I was looking at it for a whole different reason from the original point that I shot it. And then I was like, oh, this would be good as And now it's this whole other thing.
Repurposed.
It's repurposed and it's something totally different. And it's shit. It's the shit that has gotten me more work than any other of my work. So I don't throw away, you know what I mean? I keep a lot of it, you know what I mean? I know a lot of, sometimes when I shoot personal shit for people, a lot of that shit gonna be important later down the road. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of shit I shoot is more important later than it is in the moment. You know what I'm saying? As far as on personal shit. But on like on business shit, some of that shit is historical. Some of the people you shooting are like, oh shit, that's motherfucking Angela Bassett. You know what I'm saying? Over there talking to, you know what I'm saying? Common and shit. You know what I mean? And it's like, why would I? That's a terrible shot, but this is history. Look at that shit. That
I'm
shit is going
a terrible shot. Where they like where the shit is out of focus, looking crazy. You don't delete that.
Nah, sometimes you use out of focus shots just because I might put text over. You know what I'm saying? It might show the scene in the background a little bit. You put text over it, and it's unobtrusive, and then you go to a clean shot. So you know what I'm saying? I feel like some of them scraps and all that shit. I learned how to put montages and quotes together with the video. You throw away jokes?
It's different. Well, I'm a hoarder. That's what I said. I hoard all of the shit. I don't throw away the good photos. Like sometimes, like I'll be like, I should throw this out, but then I'm like, this is a charm to how fucked up that is. But I know I probably would never put it out in the world fucked up. But it's something like, I respect how fucked up, like, you know what I mean? It's a lot of shit, but I'm a hoarder. So I always say hoarders got the best stories because they could justify their hoarding. Right. You know what I mean? They'll find some sentimentality and some shit that they'll probably never really even explain the sentimentality to. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, but back to like with jokes and shit, to the point, and I guess this does, I guess it makes sense to your point of not really getting, like, there might be premises that maybe went nowhere or jokes that were like, eh. But, like, when I'm writing, sometimes if I'm, like, just trying to kickstart some shit, I'll go through old jokes. And maybe I could reuse a premise or I could be like, oh, you know what? Like, there's I'm a different comedian now. So it's like I could sell that better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or that joke links to this so I could pull this into it. Oh, shit, I ain't real. You know what I mean? So there is that. So back to the whole thing of, you know, montage and to keep a shit on deck. But what I'm saying is, on the other hand, because I'm a hoarder, I respect the motherfuckers that's decisive enough to be like, nah, I shot 700. I'm presenting these 11.
No doubt.
And I'm like, yeah, like there's something to that. Like either way is either way, but there's something to that. As somebody that's going to have 700, well, motherfucker, to pare that bitch down to 11, you like, wow, okay, I see you. Like, all right. And because I'm now, I'm like, well, what about these 11 made this shit? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and it's a place and time for somebody to deliver 11.
Right.
Reckon with me ain't one of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, what happens is a lot of times, say you shooting something and you got a photographer on deck and he being precious about the shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he turned in 20 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Nine times out of 10, in my experience, they haven't told a story.
Mm.
And they missed a bunch of shit because they was being precious about who they shot, what the person looked like, what they had on, was it going to be a, you know what I'm saying, a fly shot and shit.
Right.
When a lot of times, especially when you're dealing with corporate clients and big events and shit, it's, nah, we just need the experience. You know what I'm saying? It could be, you know what I'm saying, they could look crazy, but they doing the right thing. That's helped telling the story of what happened here and why they spent all this money to do this shit and why they spent all this money to have us here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You come back with 20 pictures and they can't put that shit in their little pitch deck for next year or they can't sell it to their client as far as what they spent all this money on, then we fucked. You know what I'm saying? Now I don't get paid. Now you don't get paid. Now it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So give me 300, 200. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I see it.
Shoot
I
the shit out of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And then we could pare it down. You
right.
know what I mean? So it's better to have a lot and be able to pare it down to 11 than to have 11 and that's all you got and you ain't got the story.
No, I dig it. I agree with that. If you paying for it, if you the person, I think the person that's paying, you should give them the opportunity to see the entire whatever. But at the same time, that shit is impressive when motherfuckers like,
yeah,
like, cause it's a statement.
Yeah, and it's people, it's like directors and photographers who have a certain style that they stick to and that they have a regimen of this is how this shit got to be.
Right.
Or it's not gonna be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you have to respect that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that's why I say I'm not a DP. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a director of photography. I'm not a cinematographer like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't have the science part of it and that whole discipline to say, you know what, this is all it's going to be. I get there and be like, okay, that shit looks good. We going to do it this way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And fuck my plan, what I had.
Yeah.
I like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that's, you know what I mean? That's why but in the end, my shit don't look as precious as some people's shit. My shit don't look as clean. My shit don't look as pristine. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you want to be that.
Mm.
But then your philosophy won't let you be that.
Hmm. Yeah. I can dig it.
Nah, man.
Yeah, it is. That low rock.
No doubt. You know what I'm saying? Up in the low. That's when you hit you. Yeah, man.
One, two, one, two.
What's good with your boy?
Reset.
It was good with your
boy. Did you see that shit I sent you?
They was confused. What the fuck is going on?
We're going to cut around this. Beast Coast. Did you see that shit I sent you?
Beast Coast. Which one was that? What was it about?
Beast Coast is a super group. Flatbush Zombies, Pro Era, Underachievers.
I saw the cypher.
Yeah,
I saw the cypher.
Yeah, that shit was fire.
They had Big Tigger on that motherfucker.
Yeah, that shit, they did. They recreated the entire basement.
Yeah, the basement, yeah.
That shit was dope. And they had Big Tigger, which was official. And Tigger held his own both times.
And the thing was, he was right. Tigger in his freestyle was saying it's been 30 years, and there's nobody said nothing about the basement or the booth or celebrated it in no kind of way. Not BET, not nobody. Not none of the magazines. As important as the basement was to hip hop during the time, nobody's mentioned it. And that's what he said in his freestyle.
He said that in his freestyle. I mean, all right, maybe. I think the basement has always been important. I don't think.
But I'm saying, has it been celebrated?
Well, has it really been 30 years?
Yeah, shit. 30 years?
What's that? 89?
I don't know.
That's 89.
99. 99 is 20, so 89.
Yeah, the basement wasn't around in 89.
Rap City, the basement.
I don't think it was around in 89. It could have been, but I don't think. Tigger wasn't.
Nah, I mean, Tigger wasn't on in 89.
Tigger wasn't good. That's
90-something, though.
I don't even think I
got. He might have said close to 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, look. Toot your horn. I don't feel like maybe it's too close. But I feel like the fact that that whole Beast Coast shit came out, that's the homage that you kind of looking for on a certain level. And I don't want to say looking for, but that's the show that that shit was impactful.
Right.
The fact that motherfuckers recreated the shit all the way down to the styling, the whole feel, like the whole down to the logo and all of that shit, it brought you back.
Right.
That shit was that's the flowers.
Right.
That's the flowers.
Right. I'm just saying,
while you alive.
But while he was in it, he made it be known that the, you know what I'm saying, that the people that it should have came from, I guess in his mind,
right,
hasn't given it its props.
But see, maybe I'd be on the internet enough to feel like I don't agree with that shit, because I feel like The Basement gets referenced a lot, like especially particularly, and I feel like they were kind of stylizing it, but particularly like that Dipset shit where Cam is counting the money and he freestyling, that shit is that shit is like iconic. There's moments, I guess everybody could be talked about more, and everybody could be
but
part of.
But who's bringing that up?
I see it on the net all the time. I see it on Twitter. I see it on Instagram. I see that shit on Tumblr. Like, I've seen people point to that moment particularly.
But he's saying in a more official way, he hasn't been celebrated.
I'm not one to knock nobody.
You don't think he should have a Rap City special?
I mean, that would be dope. I think there's a lot of shit. We're going to keep it funky. I think BET ain't celebrated as it could be, as it should. BET.
Who celebrates BET?
We do besides maybe the, once when the BET Awards come out, maybe when the Hip Hop Awards comes
out. As an official platform, you know what I'm saying?
It could.
That's what he was referencing. As an official platform, BET hasn't done nothing, or Viacom, whoever the fuck. There's no VH1 special on Rap City Basement.
I mean, you can say that about
no Hip Hop Honors for The Basement.
Yeah, I can see that. You could also say that about like your MTV Raps a little bit. Like
they did a 25-year or some shit. Some year
they might
anniversary
have.
For
they might
I've
have.
Seen a special for your MTV
they
Raps.
They might have. It's time for a BET Rap City. Like it's not a whack thing, but I don't feel like it's been overlooked, but I'm not Tigger. You know what I'm saying? Like, we worked with Tigger based off the fact of what he did on The Basement. And the fact that, 20, 30 years later, when it's not really that long, but at least 15, 20 years later, he's still on point.
Matt, look up Rap City The Basement. See when that show came on.
So it says it started in August 11th, 89, but then wasn't named The Basement until 99.
20 years.
30 years.
20 years. It didn't name. It wasn't called
but
The Basement.
It started in 89.
But it wasn't The Basement.
But if Tigger was doing it, that shit.
But Tigger wasn't the first host of Rap. We find out where Tigger came, because it was, what's my man's name? It was, what's my man's name? The mayor, I think, Chris. The one, the comedian cat. I forget his name. He might have been the first
Rap
one.
City.
Then it might have been Joe Claire and Big
Lab. So 20 years. He might have said 20 years.
He might have said 20 years. And my thing is, I'm not saying that the shit wasn't worth it. It's not due for celebration, right? 20 years, 30 years, we go with it's due for celebration. I just don't feel like it's been looked over. But that's me.
Right.
That's me. I feel like it wasn't a whole lot to, when they did that, it wasn't like I had to scratch my head and be like, now where have I seen this?
No, no doubt, but it's still a different thing once it's presented in a fashion of saying, hey, this is a thing.
You know what's so funny? I didn't even catch that line. I might have caught it, but I didn't pay that much attention to that line just for the fact that I guess it was in the midst of being celebrated. Like, that felt like that was a dope homage to what The Basement was.
Right.
Like, they recreated the fucking basement, the energy and everything.
From your
and
peers.
I feel like that's the ultimate dedication. You know what I'm saying? It's almost on par. It's like fucking what they did with the Jeffersons. You know what I mean? And it was in less time. The Jeffersons been off there. When did Jeffersons go on there?
But
77?
That was a way bigger platform.
Man, YouTube is big. YouTube, that shit was on YouTube. Niggas see that shit in Germany. In East Germany.
Your special was on YouTube.
Right.
Nigga.
Nah, I'm just saying, though. Well, let's be honest. It's the World Wide Web. So
I understand.
It's boundless.
It is boundless. He's just saying in a more,
I
get niggas, you know what I'm saying?
In a more rarefied, dignified.
In a more dignified way.
Who... who, this is the real question, though, unfortunately. Like, well, who's the property that would give it its BET. Grace? Should BET give its own grace to BET?
Who else gonna give BET the grace?
Oh, so you saying they need to do a whole basement
special.
Yeah, I guess it's time for that. Hip Hop
Awards, at least give them an honorary lifetime achievement basement freestyle award.
Well, let me ask you this. Maybe they don't directly point to it, but let's be honest. Uh-huh. BET does the Hip Hop Awards, right? Uh-huh. I think since the beginning, there's the cypher in the Hip Hop Awards. Now, and Big Tigger's at a lot of these BET events. He's not at the cypher.
Right.
I don't know if he might have been, but.
I think he's a TV One, Radio One person.
Right, but is the cypher not an element?
It is. It's direct relation to,
and it kind of looks a little bit like what the basement looked like.
Giving him no props on that shit. You know, they just took your shit and kept it moving.
Was it his shit, or was he the guy that did the shit?
Listen.
They put the Bo Jacksons out. They don't put 30. They don't put his number back on them shits.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
they would have did the same to Jordan if he ain't. You know what I'm saying?
If he ain't get his business right,
get his business right.
Jordan said, "Nigga, y'all gonna have to call. It's gonna have to be called Jordans."
Exactly.
That's a different. That's a negotiation.
Exactly, and you know, I guess you know when you ain't negotiation. Ain't there you rocking with a competitor, you know what I'm saying? They not, you know what I'm saying, throwing you no shine like that. But as a fan of it, you know what I'm saying, and if we took the business aspect out of it, I think that if BET did a basement, you know what I'm saying, retrospective special or whatever the fuck, just gave the man some type of props.
Yeah,
I think that shit would be dope.
He can do that. Absolutely. The whole BET, the Rap City, is do an in-depth retrospective. Absolutely. I'm not saying it's not worthy of that.
I guess he's stuck in the Matrix because he could get an unsung, but then maybe TV One.
Niggas don't
like,
want the unsung, right?
TV One, like, nigga, we ain't doing no unsung on BET. Fuck them.
Well, there's that. But it's also, yeah.
And it was like, it's like Luke for all them years, he always, you know what I'm saying, would complain that he never got none of them awards, none of them honors. Right. Da, 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 until they finally did a VH1 honors on him.
Yeah, I saw
it. A couple years back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it was to me, it was true. You know what I'm saying? The motherfucker had a whole situation on his back. And, you know what I'm saying, you ain't getting no props. But they give out props. So,
you know. Hey, if they give it out props, go get your props.
You know what I'm saying?
If you feel like you do for some props, get your props. I'll say this, though. I think you do for them props, but I will say this. Those were some nice-ass roses. That was that fucking...
Nah, for sure.
That shit was fire. And almost, to be honest, I think it's kind of... I mean, obviously, BET celebrating the Rap City would be great. It'd be cool. But I think seeing the actual... Some artists that... It impacted
some peers, from a younger generation.
The next generation pay homage to how, yo, this shit was such a moment to us that we want to recreate it.
Right.
I feel like that shit is, in my opinion, I like that more than BET saying, yo, let's take it to our archives and give ourselves some props for some shit that we did 30 years ago. It's worthy of it, but it's good business. You know what I'm saying? It's a retrospective. It's like, let's go into our catalog and leverage our catalog for, you know what I mean, whatever we could get off of it and celebrate the people that you know, impacted and carried out our legacy. But the fact to see the actual people that were watching it, that were influenced, say, yo, we gonna recreate that shit independent of BET? That shit was dope. And I think those are some fire roses, especially to get Tigger to bookend that shit, to crack the shit open and end it just how he did, and the fact that he was still vital enough and at the top of his game to where he didn't put out no bullshit. Because you know sometimes when they get to honor time, motherfuckers be out of it. They be washed up. Cadence is gone. You know what I'm saying? The references is terrible. Tigger was in the zeitgeist. He was rocking.
Right.
You know what I mean? Shit. And you could tell they were excited. Like when he shouted all of their crews out, they were like, oh, nigga, it was something. It was a moment. You know what I mean? I think that shit felt more organic and
It was definitely more organic. It was definitely of the culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, not taking no nothing away from right. that. I was just speaking to what he cracked this freestyle off with. And speaking of that, I watched that whole Wu shit this weekend too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you saw the Of Mics and Men, huh?
Definitely. I watched the whole Wu-Tang shit in one sitting.
It was fair. It was real, right?
No, it was dope. I mean, because, you know, one, that energy, it's like it takes moments like those when you revisit it in a big platform
to
remind you of the energy that was happening mm-hmm. at the time or that wasn't happening that they brought to the table, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's that wild ass, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so to see it and to kind of get a full, I like how they did where they had the shows from different eras, but they were singing the same song.
They was editing back and forth through different eras.
So you could actually see how the energy was when they was performing that shit when it first came out.
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying? In the middle, then, you know what I'm saying? Like lately. You know what I mean?
Back when Ghost used to come out still with the stocking.
With the stocking, you know what I'm saying?
Ghost.
And watching this shit, and I knew it then, but even more so after watching it, Ghost is still, you know what I'm saying? I resonate with Ghost. Ghost resonates with me.
Why is that?
I don't know. He just feel like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I know him. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I feel like, you know what I'm saying? He is, he very vested in what he doing, what he's saying, and how he come up with shit. He a visionary
mm-hmm.
in his language.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to see him and RZA going back and forth about who actually said the name first.
Oh, Wu-Tang?
Yeah.
Oh, they had that?
There was a whole conversation where Ghost was like, I watched the joint. I actually brought the movie to your house.
But
I seen it on 40 Deuce. He was like, yeah, but I was already saying that shit.
Right.
He was like, yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I came up with the name. Like, RZA kind of got defensive.
Yeah, camera's running.
And then, you know what I'm saying? The casual was like, you know, that was part of Ghost's language already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The whole Wu-Tang shit.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I just felt like, okay, I fucks with Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Then, you know, when he talks about how he had to take care of his little brothers and shit like that,
mm-hmm.
that shit, you know what I'm saying? Just mm-hmm. his story just has layers to it. And then for him to be the most, you know, had that, the most flair and, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. crazy bangles and,
right.
you know what I'm saying? He just was the most, he just stood out the most to me.
Which is so crazy because there is so many big personalities in the Wu.
Right.
Like, you still got Old Dirty Bastards, you got Meth, you got Raekwon, got Capadonna.
Right.
You know
see,
what I mean?
Like see, this. Ray had the slickest talk, you know what I'm saying, the smoothest voice and all that shit. But then his personal style was still very, you know what I'm saying, subdued. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He had a Cuban on and dressed like, you know what I'm saying, cat off the street.
Ghost
you know?
Would go all out. Big ass eagle.
Right, Ghost gonna take it all the way there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like Method Man, he had the big personality as far as being on the camera, but his whole style was just, you know what I'm saying?
He was a grimy motherfucker.
Right. Fucking ODB, you know what I'm saying? He was, you know what I'm saying? He was
old
wild,
dirty.
Old dirty, crackish almost sometimes.
You know caught up in the system.
You know what I'm saying? Caught up in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Group homish.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Even though he, you know, didn't grow up in a group home. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because I just watched his mama and all that shit.
Man,
all shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But
I can dig it though.
You know what I mean? So Ghost always stood out as like, okay, I fought with Ghost. Because he was clean like somebody, like mm-hmm. a cat from the streets. But then he just took it to obscene levels. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's with his words and with his style.
Yeah, nah, Ghost is dope. I think he's probably my favorite Wu member. Probably the most consistent mm-hmm. over the years and shit. Great albums and shit. Yeah, I fuck with Ghost. I fuck with the Wu. But it made you kind of say, all right. Like I said, it, you know, like, well, to your point, it brought you back to that energy that they brought. Mm-hmm. And you realized, damn, it's been a minute since people brought that type of energy. That don't really happen
right.
often at all.
Right.
You know, so it was like, yeah, it brings you back to a time and place. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the catalog later on might not have been my thing. Like, I might have stayed more like with Ghost, Ray, certain other people.
Right.
But, yeah, it reignited that, oh, shit, that whole, It was an explosion. Right. It was an explosion.
And you know what I'm saying? I respect the fact, though, that RZA and that they all was able to still sit there together and do that shit.
Right.
Through all the other little beefs and, you know what I'm saying, money shits and, you know what I'm saying, even when they have like a current little thing going with RZA, and he's got to sit over there and listen to them say right. that all they shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I thought that was dope. But I do respect how Divine did his shit.
On the boat?
Yeah, he was like, man, listen, I don't talk to them. I don't call them. I don't fuck with them, man. Because it's basically like, when you don't think about it, you think about business, you know what I'm saying? All right, we doing this business. I'm going to take this business elsewhere. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then you also hear from his point, like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to go take that same money and give it to somebody who ain't even build that shit with you. You
right.
know what I'm saying? For doing the same shit.
Right.
But, you know, it's all right, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then you also see how the conflict came into play where Divine and Power put up Bread.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the other managers in place, but then when the shit started cracking,
mm-hmm.
they came in as actual, you know what I'm saying? And they came in working when they was before kind of hands off.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see how that threw a wrench in the hierarchy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, because you come in like, shit, motherfucker, I'm going to put money on this. You know what I'm saying?
My investment.
Shit, watch yeah, out. Yeah, yeah. You put money on this, then
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it was like, damn, what damn dog, where you been? All this
right,
time.
Nigga. Right.
I've been making money.
Yeah, it's tough.
Fuck out of here.
It just showed how raw the whole shit was, how they was just getting it in the moment. Like, you know, there was moments where, like, you know, they figured that shit out as they were going along, and sometimes maybe they didn't have the right business mind, or they didn't prescribe to the right business theories and shit like that. It was a lot of that. I thought it was really cool. I heard just to your point of how they could sit down still, even with all of the shit that they got, they might, you know, they feel away and, you know what I mean, got maybe have some beefs or some issues or whatever, but they still, it feels like they still understand that the collective is greater than one. You know what I mean? Right. The whole is great. And it's like, it's a true brotherhood throughout it all. And beyond that, I think Sasha Jenkins pointed this out. He was talking about how you see black men cry or deal with depression or whatever. Like, but like truly process feelings, keep it honest with each other. You know what I'm saying? I ain't like that shit. I felt the way. I was hurt by that, whatever, whatever. Say that shit face to face. However it feel, it's going to be awkward, but I got to get this off my chest. I need you to know that. We can move on because we've invested something, but I want to be able to speak to however I feel about it, as opposed to, you know, a lot of black masculinity subdue emotion and, you know, articulate, yo, I'm upset, or I was hurt by that shit, or I felt a way. You know, that's niggas, that's how expressive most motherfuckers get. I felt a way.
Right.
Which is vague as shit. You know what I'm saying? I felt a way about that shit, fam. You got to listen to the tone.
Shit was bugged out.
Yeah, shit. You know what I mean?
Shit was a trip.
Nigga was on some other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Own, like, he was on one and shit.
Yeah, that nigga, you know, we don't fuck with each other because, you know, he be on that old funny shit.
But I did, you know what I'm saying? A lot of that can be probably attributed to that. I didn't know that they grew up so far deep, so far back. You know what I'm saying? Like, they grew up
as kids together.
You know what I'm saying? I knew that, you know what I'm saying, that RZA, ODB, and the GZA was cousins and shit. But I didn't know, like, all of them cats grew up together. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Around each other and shit.
Around each other since kids, little kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was that shit was tripped out.
Yeah, wow. You know, see them all kind of get it popping. Like, all them motherfuckers, their lives are different. That's 10, at least 10 motherfuckers, like, principal, whose lives are way different
than
they used to be off the strength of hip-hop.
And they could still go out. And I guess that's one of the reasons they could still sit down, because collectively, they could still go out and get the bag.
Yeah.
They out now on tour.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Individually, you might get, you know what I'm saying, a few of them that could get it.
It might fluctuate,
Ghost and Ray, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, Method Man, you know, they say Inspector Deck was out there getting it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was surprised that they, like you said, the speed of tickets, you know what I'm saying, flow. I was surprised that a lot of them still had, they was still quick with it, you know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, Capadonna still had a lot of wit with his freestyles and shit, you know right. what I mean?
Because they got a legacy still, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know, like, I think, God, I'm just going to say.
Nah, go ahead.
I just think that you build an expectation based on how you live, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, Capadonna seen, like, I seen him at that talk. Capadonna just, he said he identifies as a Don. He said that shit. They was like, yo, how do y'all feel? One of the younger cats in the audience was like, yo, how do you feel? First of all, it's always funny at Q&As because the Q&A is never really always a question. The question is about the state, it's about the person. Right. You know what I mean? So the guy comes up, full disrespect, but he was like, hey, guys, I know you guys kind of took off in 93. I wasn't born until about 97, so I missed all of that.
Black
anyway, it was black guy. That's why I'm like, nigga, you should have known better. What's going on? It's just disrespect. This is like, goddamn, but that's, you get old, you feel that way. So anyway, you become sensitive to that shit. So you see, he said, he didn't say y'all was washed, but he was like, your impact, I missed it. So, but I see you guys as older men, blah, blah, blah. How are you surviving in, like, social media era? I think he even said surviving, right. which made it sound like your shit is bleak for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, I forget, YouGov was, they was about, like, Instagram and shit like that. YouGov was like, man, I don't really fuck with it. You know what I mean? I'm real private. I'm an OG. You know what I mean? I be on my, you know what I'm saying, keep it to myself type shit. And then they went to Capadonna. Capadonna was like, you know, I'm a Don, you know what I mean? So I got to get on it. I got to splash these niggas every so often. Like, because he got some shit like, that nigga's a Don.
Right.
And niggas want to hear the slang editorial. You got to come through, splash these niggas with whatever flavors you got, because right. that's what we know you for.
Right.
So with that, if the expectation is still there, then the desire to keep your shit sharp probably even starts even before the expectation, because that's just how you
that's
identify.
Who you are. It's who you yeah. are. The saddest part of the documentary, though, was Capadonna saying he was fucked up.
That was weird, because I didn't know if he was, if that was like he was being funny, or like, was he fucked up for real?
Right, and you saw how everybody around the table was looking like,
was like,
aw,
damn.
This nigga finna ask for some money?
Right, well, you know. Or say, yo, I'm like, announce some fucked up right. shit. You know what I mean?
Everybody was looking like, they was feeling the same way. Is this a joke or is this?
But at the same time, it was funny though, because it was like, it put shit in perspective, whether it's real or not. It's like, my nigga, if y'all niggas is bitching, y'all give me a dollar, because I'm fucked up. And at the same time, even if you are fucked up, you still at the table, part of the woo in this documentary, part of this iconic fucking group.
Which probably make fucked up feel a lot worse.
Which probably makes fucked up feel a lot worse because you're comparing some shit, maybe. But it also is, you got more opportunity to maybe unfuck yourself, depending on how you fucked. You know what I'm saying? Depending on, you know, what it is. But, like, the light is shining again on you. You know what right. I'm saying? Like, and the fact that you are a vibrant personality, people go pick up on that shit.
That was RZA's reason. That was RZA's rationalization of putting out the $2 million album when nobody else knew it was going to be an album.
What you mean?
He was like, but the light is shining. You know what I'm saying? The light is shining back on the woo. Like, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like, our stock is back up. Like,
get to it, baby. Supply and demand, baby. There's a demand out there. Let's like, get to
hey,
it.
Hey, I know, you know what I'm saying? Y'all got fleece, but hey, you know what I'm saying?
Look it.
Let's go do this tour.
Right. Okay. And then they got the Hulu show coming.
That's what's up.
So they out there.
That shit was big.
Yeah, man.
I love it.
That's what's up. You want right. to say anything else before we transform, or you got any?
That's it, man. Good being here. Good talking to the folks. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? That's it.
All right. Where you going to be? Anywhere?
I'm going to be right here. Be in the city. Plotting this summer out.
Okay.
Trying to have a big summer as far as, you know what I'm saying, new work and new projects.
All
so,
right.
plotting it out now.
All right.
Oh, shit. Goddamn. I do want to shout out Potty Break. Show that I executive produced with Tony Ty.
Yeah.
Got picked up on TV1's interactive program.
Oh, shit.
They have a new platform for independent filmmakers and shit like that. So it got picked up on there. And so we're proud of that. It's called A Space for Creators. That's it's an interactive one, digital. So it's picked up on there, you know what I'm saying? It's a good thing because, you know, it's a little, you know, slight little rev share, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's not just in the world, it's in the world making in, so.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Proud of the Proddy Break. Shout out to Tony Todd, director and spearheader of the project.
Dope.
You know what I'm saying? So that's out there. I would like to share that.
There you go.
You know what
there
I'm saying?
Go. I'm at Eastville this whole weekend. I'll be there from I'll just be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday night on that 10 o'clock show, I'm gonna do a good 40 piece, so it's a long set. I don't really do a lot of long sets in the city, so come through. Until then, until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We are out
of this biatch.
Yes.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.